Mark Osler is a law professor at the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis, having just completed his first year there after the move from Waco. A former prosecutor in Detroit, he's seen firsthand the impact of drugs in the community and has won cases regarding punishments related to narcotics in front of the Supreme Court. Now, Osler, the KWBU member, is turning his attention to examining and drumming up support for what he says could be a more effective means of cutting off the drug flow by cutting off the currency that makes the machine run.
Wrote a paper and then an article on the Huffington Post that's gained very interesting reactions that is essentially a market-driven approach to narcotics interdiction. You have a lot of people who don't think about it very much, even in a broad strategic way. And so what I'm talking about really came from a lecture I gave up in Dallas to the Dallas Republicans. And I asked them, okay, drugs are a business. I'm not a business person, but many of you are, and probably the majority there were. If I wanted to close down your business, how would I do it? And it was fascinating because I've asked other audiences this since. The answer is always credit and cash flow. If you restrict the credit and cash flow of a business, it'll close. No one has ever said labor. You know, that if you prevent the flow of labor and people I can hire. And I think that's because we have lived almost our entire lives in a labor-rich environment. It's especially low-wage labor, you know, people who sell drugs, middle management, things like that. Low-wage labor is readily available. So if you want to shut this down, our tactic of incapacitating through arrest a lot of low-wage labor hasn't worked. And no wonder. That's not going to close down the business.
You have a Walmart analogy with that, don't you?
Yeah, it's like arresting the greeters at Walmart thinking that's going to shut down the Walmart. And there's an inexhaustible supply of people who will take that job. And that's the problem. And it's been incredibly expensive. It's put federal agents onto the streets doing what really are the state's duties and obligations. And it's created these incredible conflicts between states' rights and the federal government. For example, in California, where you have marijuana being allowed for medical uses, but a variety of ways, and these constant conflicts with the federal government, who you know, has a different set of laws and goes in and conflicts with what that state obviously wants in an increasing number of states on marijuana. And you have these interconnecting ideas that are creating conflict, and still you have this stasis, this this really status quo that keeps going forward and isn't thought about hard enough, I think.
Well, what do you think? What are some things that people should start examining as far as cutting off that cash flow and getting to the top and not just the low?
Yeah, I think that what we need to do is instead of sweeping up people, we need to sweep up money. If you know, imagine that you've got a very high profit Mexican manufacturer of methamphetamine. What's happened is with the restrictions on pseudoephedrine here, that a lot more of the methamphetamine is brought in from Mexico. So someone's making a ton of money selling methamphetamine pills here. Let's say they're making a 30% profit, the exporter in Mexico is. Well, what you have to do is follow the money going back the other way, and right before it crosses the border, you grab it. And if we can do that and interdict 31% of the money, the business is going to fail without us imprisoning a lot of people. You just won't have the dealers anymore because the business will be gone. Now, can we do that? We can. We're in a much better position now than we were 10 years ago. And that's one of the positive byproducts of 9/11.
Tomorrow, we'll hear Osler explain why operations put in place after 9/11 can have an impact on areas beyond terrorism and how it relates to the drug trade. For KWBU News, I'm Derek Smith.